You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Maniatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
It's 7 minutes after 9 o'clock. Goeiemôre, hoe gaan dit? Dumelang, welcome to the Tuesday edition of the show. We are back in studio in Sandton after our live broadcast from Tshwane yesterday, which was great, by the way. I met some of you who work around the city and at the municipal offices who listen to the show. So it's good to have you with us this morning. Let's start the show with the 702 open line, shall we? It's your hour to raise any issue on your mind this morning. 011-883-0702 is the number to dial. You can send us a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. The SMS line is 31702.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
How are you feeling about load shedding? I'm frustrated. And I said on the show a couple of weeks ago that the ANC government must be so brave. You switch off people's electricity a week before elections? Are you kidding me? On the other hand, I was actually thinking, you know, government sometimes can negotiate with Eskom for them to keep the lights on. And I think it's happened in the past before for political reasons. Well, I think in parliament, you can have those discussions as well. You know, there was a time when there was an important sitting in parliament and Eskom announced they're suspending load shedding. And look, the ANC government could have probably said, make sure that we don't have load shedding this week. Do whatever you can. Right? If it means you're compromising other power stations, do this. But we cannot afford to cut people's electricity ahead of elections. Right? I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying they could have. That wouldn't have been good, though, because then they're doing that for political reasons. It's a different thing if they're trying to keep the lights on election day because you don't want to disrupt voting, because that's an important day. Right? But I'm just thinking here that even if they wanted to keep the lights on this week, it's probably impossible, right? Because of the failures of our power stations that are just tripping left and right. And I wonder why it's taking so long to turn around Eskom Generation's poor performance. The power utility indicated yesterday that it's already implemented 32 days of load shedding since April the 1st. Compared to the 47 days for year end in March. Eskom said it's actually worrying to have reached this number of days. I don't know. Are we getting it right? Are we not getting it right? I'm not expecting, and I'm not suggesting that the people like Andre Dareta and even the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, who have been put up there to sort this mess out, you know, and catch up on maintenance of infrastructure, etc., right? Deal with issues of corruption there. I'm not suggesting that they had an easy job that would have probably taken just a year to sort it all out. But my goodness, why are you there? Can we at least see things getting better? And maybe they are on the finance side of things. Yeah, I know their debt was reduced the last time they gave us an update on their finances. But sure, Eskom's Generation's poor performance, sometimes it really seems like it's not getting better. The power plants have continued to perform poorly despite even the promises that were made previously that intensive maintenance would result in a step change in the system this year. But is that what you're seeing? I don't know. I want to bring in Davi Scholtz, who's an independent elections analyst, and then I'm going straight to your calls on 011-883-0702 because he's worked on campaigns before. Right, he's looked at internal tracking polls, and I wonder if this is going to have an impact on the 1st of November. Let's say you had decided you're voting for the ANC, and now your business is suffering because of load shedding, or now you're unable to make food for your children this whole week because of load shedding. Does that sway your vote? Do you then think differently and say, I'm unhappy with this organization? What influence does the current load shedding have on you as a potential voter? I'd like to know. Davi, how's it going, man? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Clement. Thanks for having me.
So is there a link between the unhappiness as a result of load shedding and election day and what the outcome could be?
Absolutely, and so, as you rightly said, I've worked on a couple of campaigns before, and I've just seen the impact that load shedding has on the way people feel, because it's so in your face. It's something you experience in your day. A lot of politics is very theoretical, right? People talk about corruption and this issue and that issue, but when your power goes off, it really affects your life. It creates frustration, and so I think for a lot of people, it kind of reminds them of all of the bad stuff they've heard about ANC non-delivery, right?
Yeah.
And so it's in your face. That's the one thing. And the other thing that's also just really interesting that I've also found is it really motivates people who are kind of annoyed with the ANC and who may or may not go vote to go vote. So it's like, people who are not ANC voters and maybe are going to vote, maybe not, they turn out in droves when something like this happens. They get really annoyed. And so I think those are two important impacts that it has. But one other interesting thing I'll just say, because I was listening to your intro, is that this ESCOM problem, it's like turning around a ship 10 times the size of the Titanic, right? Because, it's the power plants are what, like 30, 40, 50 years old, many of them, and they're supposed to only run for 30 years. So ESCOM can do all the maintenance in the world, and it's still going to be a challenge, hey? And Medupi and Kusile being, not functioning effectively is probably what's triggered this massive problem. But, it's bad news, but I don't think it's going to get fixed anytime soon.
Yeah.
It's a big challenge.
Sure. Yeah, it's a tough one. Thank you. Thank you, Davi. I just wanted you to tell us about what you've observed, having previously worked in campaigns before. Davi is saying, I've looked at internal tracking polls previously in elections, and I can tell you, nothing tanks ANC numbers like load shedding, 17 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
All right, so that's the 702 open line. I want to hear from you now on 011-883-0702. If you want to send us some voice notes, and some of you have sent them, send them on 072-702-1702.
Good morning, Clement Hamney from Randburg. Clement, I read the story of the EFF promising a Mercedes to that king in the Eastern Cape. And then I further read that the king was supposed to serve a 12-year sentence for abuse on his subjects that was reduced to 4 years by Cyril Ramaphosa. Are there many people whose sentence were reduced by Cyril Ramaphosa that you are aware of? Because this one has never caught my attention when listening to the media.
Well, yeah, it was a whole dispensation. I'm going to give you the facts just after the break. I'm going to find it. But it wasn't just him, that benefited. He benefited as a result of the broader discussion that had been taken, if I remember correctly. But I'm going to check it and then I'll give you the details. But yeah, you are talking about the Aba Thembu King. The other day he was thanking Julius Malema for a brand new car. He used to be a member of the DA, by the way. Was it in 2013 when he joined the official opposition? Yeah. Now he was telling, do you still call them his subjects? I'm so uncomfortable with that term. Huh? Now he was telling his, what are they? They're not supporters, right? So if when someone is a king or a chief, the people that fall under them, are they his subjects? Oof. I'm so uncomfortable with that term. Help me with the right wording for it. But he was basically telling his community, right, where he reigns as a king, that he was endorsing the EFF. He wasn't instructing them to vote for the organization, but come on. I mean, you are the king. You are endorsing the EFF. Power relations. You may not tell people, you go vote for the EFF, but you're endorsing the EFF as a king, right? And this is what he did. And he revealed that the EFF has promised to buy him a Mercedes ML. And by the way, Mercedes-Benz apparently has stopped producing MLs a long time ago. So maybe he meant what? GL what, Abel? GL something something Mercedes. I spoke to the spokesperson of the king yesterday on ENCA. Because my understanding is that the king actually has a car. I think a BMW that he gets given by government. So this ML kind of was thinking, imagine the money. If the EFF is really buying a Mercedes-Benz, which is so expensive, imagine what that would do for the community. instead of this car going to the king, if that money was used for something else, for that poor community, I think it would have worked much better than buying an expensive car for the king. A car that I would argue he doesn't even need, because he already has a BMW X4 from government. This is what the spokesperson of the king told me yesterday when I interviewed him on ENCA.
He told his supporters there, as he was endorsing the EFF, that the leader, Julius Malema, promised to buy him a new car. When is he expecting that?
Well, Malema promised to give them that car after the election. There's a car that got from government. I think the N4. Sorry, X5. No, X4, sorry.
Well, he said it's a Mercedes-Benz
That he got from the provincial government. That's a car that he says is not suitable for the status of the king, one. Mm. And sometimes it's not easy to drive that car, given the nature of the roads in the rural areas.
Sure, but it's not suitable for the status of the king. Yeah? A BMW X4. I just Googled it. Hey, look at it. But it's not suitable for the status of a king. A BMW X4. So this Mercedes ML, or whatever it's going to be, because Mercedes apparently doesn't produce the MLs anymore, it's going to be suitable for the status and help the king get more to communities. Must be nice, yeah? Kustas, you're calling us from Midrand. You want to talk about Eskom? Hi.
Yeah, morning, Clement. Hey, Clement, I'm laughing, man, about that king. Yeah.
Hey, Nami, I want to be king, bro. I want to be king of my village in Mpumalanga. Can't be poor here on the radio.
Hey, Clement, if an X4 is not right, then an ML is better. Okay, fine. ML and X4 are the same cars.
How?
You can't travel in rural areas.
Oh, dear.
Hey, Clement, good morning, my brother. I hope my line is clear, but at Eskom, this management does not know what it is doing, Clement. Let me elaborate. These guys, since they came in, what improvements have we seen from them? All I hear from them is excuses. Now, here's what's happening. If they are not improving Eskom, they are probably destroying Eskom one way or the other. Now, they enjoy political protection, these guys. So we can't remove them. They are not supposed to be anywhere near Eskom right now. They have failed dismally. They keep on telling us about 5,000 that is short. We knew we had 5,000 short a long time ago, but we did not have at the level of load shedding like we are. I think we've lost about 100 billion this year on load shedding alone. And the country is not up to even arms about that. These guys, Clement, will give us excuses until Eskom is completely destroyed.
Yeah. Well, Kustas, they're saying the rot was way too deep. And if you expecting them to fix things in just a year or two, then you have no understanding of how deeply rooted the mess has been at Eskom.
Yeah. Yesterday, News 24 published, I think they're trying to blame Marcela Koko for the good work he did at Eskom. You know, they wrote to Marcela Koko to ask him, how did these grabs look so good during your time? Marcela Koko and Brian Dames, I believe that Brian Dames did a good job there. The fact that this management is trying now to blame previous guys for the work that they should be doing, it tells me that one, they failed to do what Marcela Koko did with the other guys. They look at what Marcela Koko did, they're like, they cannot even come close to what he has done. My point then goes back to say, if News 24 is trying for information when there were auditors there, it tells me that these guys are failing. Therefore, Andrew DeRuyter has to step aside and his management. They don't know what they're doing. I propose Brian Dames, we bring him alive or dead, because that man ran this company so well when he was there.
Yeah, yeah. How much was he getting paid, Kustas? Go check how much he used to get paid. Yeah.
He got paid, and the utility was chosen as the best in the world at the time.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Kustas, I'm out of time. Let's give other listeners an opportunity. Thank you. Kustas says those people are failing at their jobs and they must go. What do you think?
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
David, you calling us from Midrand. Good morning.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, David. You're on the radio.
Hi.
Sure.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I'm just commenting that I used to work in Eskom, and you can see the performance of the Eskom generation plant has been consistently falling since about 2018, and hasn't stopped falling since. We're now down in levels which are way below any standard that we've seen reasonable. And I think they'll misunderstand the degree to which morale of the of the team at Eskom is so vital. And what we're seeing is a collapse in the belief in themselves. And I think that's the problem I have with the current system, is that nobody's telling the current team that there's a way out of the problem. And if you tell someone that they're doomed and on a sinking ship, they tend to give up, which makes the ship sink faster. And if I go back to Michilo Coco's days, there was absolute belief from him and from an expert that we could, that the company could be fixed. There's now almost an absolute belief it can't be fixed. And if you're told it can't be fixed, you don't. At 3 a.m, when you go get up and do some really nasty work to get something started again, you don't bother.
So how does it get fixed then, David?
Well, the first thing you've got to have is you've got to have a management approach that says there is a future for the company and there is a way it goes forward. And that way has to be, and you have to aggressively engage management. And for all other complaints that we can have about Mr. Coco, he was a desperately engaged manager. Mm-hmm. You know, literally phone up power station managers at 1 a.m. and say, we're not going to make morning peak.
Mm-hmm.
Get down to your power station and get that unit that's been offline back online this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much that's going on. I'm no longer there. But I just know that's the kind of engagement. Working for Michelle Coco was an absolute pain. He was in some senses a brilliant manager because he got things done, but he also was, to put it mildly, quite brutal.
Mm.
And he took consequence management to a level that has not been seen in this country for a long time. And in the process, that's what got Eskom to get better.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting, David. So do you think it was that approach where he engages extensively that really got Eskom to do better?
He was on your case all the time. And occasionally he was regularly unreasonable. But as they say, all progress comes from unreasonable people.
Hmm.
If you're too reasonable. And but you knew that he knew what he was doing and knew all the details. He was not somebody who would not be aware of what's going on. And he had a belief in how the company could be turned around and could make it work. I'm not convinced that Eskom top management is showing any way in which we're going to strategically get out of the present hole we're in, because, quite bluntly, if the more we go for the renewables, it doesn't help us. I'm sitting here now in the middle of Midland. It's overcast. There's no wind blowing. And if you believe you're going to live on solar and wind, then you're going back to the 17th century, where you get up with the sun and go to bed with the sun. I want to get 24/7 power.
Yeah, no, David, thank you for calling us there. David really praising Matsela Koko's time at Eskom and the kind of leadership that he demonstrated. He says that's why he got things done. Go check out, if you want to look at another view of this as well, and this is what Kustas was talking about earlier. Go check out the News24 investigation. It found that Eskom's turnaround under Matsela Koko may have been the result of the manipulation of key metrics, right? So go check it out. I think today have an article that they published where they give you 5 things you need to know emanating from that investigation, including that maintenance might not have taken place right during that time and the possible use of cold reserves to hide breakdowns. That's what they looked at. I'll tweet this link so you can check it out. But yeah, David says from his personal experience, Matsela Koko really did manage to turn that place around.
Voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
23 minutes before 10 o'clock. Let's continue with your calls and your WhatsApp voice notes, your SMSs as well on 31702. Tabo, you are in Kensington. Good morning.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Keshab, how are you doing?
Keshab, man. Look, Clement, I'm not the technical person. I wouldn't know of the power station breaking down and everything. But from the political point of view, this whole thing of Eskom switching off the lights a week before the elections is to decamping the ANC to make sure that people, ANC, actually loses votes. And the most hating thing is that is the people within the ANC doing it, trying to destroy the ANC from within. That's my view from the whole thing of load shedding before the week, just the week before the
election. You think it's sabotage?
Yes, it is. It is sabotage.
Okay.
Exactly. It is sabotage. Look right now what's going on. Instead of facing the problems and give us attending to people who are actually in charge of ESCOM, we are diverting to say the Machela Cocos of this world, the manipulated whatever. Those people who knew the problems of ESCOM, they came there telling us that they will fix ESCOM. Today they are ministers, but they are not being held accountable. They were telling us that they know exactly what is the problem. Give us a chance. Let's be optimistic. We will fix the problems of ESCOM. But today, they are ministers. They are in charge of these SOEs. They are falling apart. They are nowhere to be found.
Where's accountability? I hear you, Tibos. I hear you. I actually interviewed the CEO of ESCOM, Andre Dareta, on the show, I think last year. In fact, it was 1 month into starting the show. And we were speaking about a what do you call it? You call it a promise. It was on the 14th of July last year, because he indicated that he did not make any promises, right? And we had a back and forth about that. His argument was, no, this is a forecast. When they said we're only going to have load shedding for about only 3 days, I think, in winter. And I spoke to him about it. About that forecast that they made, which, by the way, members of parliament saw it as like a commitment that will only see about 3 days of load shedding that past winter. But then we were 5 days into continuous power cuts. And I'll play you a little bit of that interview, but let me bring in Hlulani quickly first in Centurion, and then I'll continue with your other calls. Hlulani, hi.
Hi, how are you, Clement?
Sharp, how's it going?
I'm good, man. You see, Clement, this issue of load shedding is a demonstration that the ANC has totally failed to deal with this issue. I mean, it has been ongoing for a very long time, and it doesn't show any signs of ending anytime soon. And there's a value chain that is affected with this. Companies are being affected now, and it's going to cause a very high rate of unemployment. Talk about food security. There's going to be an issue if we continue like this. So I don't know. I understand this is a national competence, the issue of ESCOM and all that. But now that we are going to municipal elections, I think we need to choose parties that can mitigate for this at municipality level, you know, like buying electricity from independent cooperatives.
Yeah, especially now that they can do that, right? They've got the license to do that now. They can apply even to generate their own electricity.
So, look now, the city power, they are telling us stories. They've got a memorandum of understanding with ESCOM. Another statement comes. So it shows that they are failing, you understand. So I think our voters, like as voters, we just have to be very careful who we choose this time around.
All right, Hlulani says be careful of who you're choosing this time around. I'll take more of your calls on this. And I wonder if this influences your vote, right? I mean, does it make you think twice about the governing party? I mean, obviously, ESCOM operates at a national level. But my goodness, the impact is crazy, right? The impact at local government is crazy. And I wonder if a week before elections, you're cutting people's electricity off, and probably not because you're doing it for fun, but you are being forced, you know, by your failed infrastructure, the failing power stations. Does that sway your vote and you think otherwise about the organization if you were planning on voting for the ANC? Does it make you think otherwise? Or are you like many who have actually started seeing the results of the work that Andre Dareta, the CEO, and Pravin Gordhan, the Minister of Public Enterprises, are doing? Are you seeing them really change things around, right? Whether you talk about them reducing debt, whether you talk about dividing ESCOM as an entity into these three units, changing the organizational structure, but more importantly, on how they're dealing and averting load shedding. Are you satisfied with their leadership? Or do you feel that there's a different level of accountability, right? We hold them to a different standard of accountability. Yeah? Because I bet you, with the frustrations people have right now, I would argue that if it was other people that were in those positions, whether it's the ministry or it's the CEO of Eskom, you would be calling on them to be fired, to resign. Kustas was saying they need to go. Or are you like those who say, these people have started doing a good job and they shouldn't go? The mess, the rot at Eskom has been so deep and it's not just going to take a year or two to fix it. Yeah? It's going up to 15 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
What an insult to BMW. I think they really need to come on air and respond to this because they've just been roasted here by the king. And I want to know what's the king's job description. You know, he goes out to the communities, but I just want to find out, say, on a day-to-day basis, what do kings do? You know, they wake up in the morning. Do they go to an office? What is exactly the role and job descriptions of him? Does he have KPIs or anything like that?
Yeah, angazi. I really don't know. Can somebody help us out? I would think, right, the kings and the kingdoms that exist today are, you know, the constitutional monarchies. And so the king or a queen will act as a ceremonial head of state. And I would imagine their public responsibilities will be promoting the interests of that community that they lead. Yeah? Maybe promoting tourism, the interests of that nation's history and culture, but not real political authority. But apparently you need a BMW ML for that.
Greetings, 702. We must remember that Julius Malema came from the ANC. That is the same political party that used to have annual dinners where you could sit next to the president or the top six and you would pay $100K for a seat at that table. It's buying of votes. But no, we don't see it that way. We just always give them a free pass. If you want to vote for ANC, go for it. Vote for them. You'll have more destruction.
Who's giving the EFF a free pass now, guys? Also, nothing, Julius Malema is within his rights, by the way, to hand over a car and gift the king of Aba Thembu, right? And that's not what I was questioning earlier, because the ANC has done similar things. They've gifted kings with cows, right? They've gifted kings before, kings and queens before. So it's not just one thing that is done by Julius Malema. It's not just done by the ANC. If you look at different political parties, check how they've gifted different kings. Yeah? Does that buy their influence? Because those kings have influence over their, and I quote here, subjects. Yeah, you can say, yeah, I'm endorsing this political party. You've got great influence, right, over the people you reign over. So there's a level of influence you look at. But what I was asking earlier is, imagine if that money that's meant to buy a BMW ML, how much does it even cost? Is it over R1 million, Abel? I don't know. Imagine if you take that money, or even if it's over R500,000, and you do something to develop the community. Now there's something, right? If I live in a community where over R500,000 is spent by a political party to fix something, I don't know, let's bore water, just do something for us. That's development. Don't just buy a car to a king and a king accepts that gift and says it's suitable for my position, like the spokesperson told me. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. Let's go to the lines and then your voice notes. Vusi, you are in Cresta. Good morning.
Morning. How are you, Clement?
Sure.
I'm good, man. This issue of Eskom, I suspect I'm wrong, I stand to be corrected, but it's both corruption and political. You know, these guys in politics, they will play every dirty trick to stay in power or to support themselves inside. irregardless of their communities and their economy, because now this thing is disturbing everything, this power cut.
Yeah, they are disrupting. They're really, really disruptive to the economy. Lerato in Boksburg, good morning.
Hello, Clement. Good morning to you. Clement, my take is on the Eskom issue. There's only one person who can tell the truth, and it's the spokesperson for Eskom. I don't know what offer Eskom made him to be the spokesperson for Eskom, because if there was one man who was after Eskom, who knew what was going on in Eskom, was Sikonathi. So Sikonathi must tell the public to make him that offer that Eskom is paying him, so that we must know the truth, so that we don't pay for electricity that we don't get. That all Sikonathi must come out of Eskom and he'll tell us the truth, Eskom. I mean, have a good day.
All right, Lerato. Lerato says Sikonathi is the one that should have the answers for us. Thabo, what do you want to say? You're in Soweto.
Hi, Clement.
Sure, Tibos.
How's you?
Sharp. How's it?
I'm good. This Eskom issue, Clement, let me tell you one thing. As Rad was saying, that Sikonathi must come and tell the truth. Unfortunately, Sikonathi won't tell you the truth because he's paid not to tell the truth. As we speak at the moment, there's a high possibility that by this week, even during the election day, Gauteng will be in the dark. Reason why? Employees have started to embark on Go Slow, because most of them, 60% of their salaries was taken away from them. Mine was taken away about 60% without their consent, and they don't know what the reason. So they've started to embark on Go Slow. So there's a high possibility that on Monday, Gauteng will be dark, because they demanded to meet their GM, their governor, to come and explain why their money was taken from them. He disappeared. He took leave. He disappeared. Sikonathi must come and tell you what's happening in Gauteng, because up to so far, nobody knows what's happening in Gauteng. So we're telling you now, by Monday, there's a high possibility that Gauteng will be in the dark, because employees have started, they are demobilizing to embark on Go Slow. They will come in at after 7, knock off at 4 o'clock, and from after 7 to 4, they won't be doing anything. They'll be sitting in their depots.
So where do you work, Thabo?
I'm working for a contractor, a private company in Gauteng.
So how do you know this?
I know that because I'm working closely with them. As we speak now, they are not taking any calls.
Okay, Tibos. Thabo, I thought you worked there, but if you're hearing it from other people, it's hearsay. Let's wait and hear what the authorities have to say. Hopefully we'll hear from the people who work there, or unions that represent the workers there. Because, you know, hearsay is hearsay, and I want us to be quite extra careful with what we hear from our friends, because that may not necessarily be the truth. And I'm not trying to dismiss it. I'm just saying if Tibos works there, you know, then I can take it, because he's part of the engagements happening there. But thanks for calling us, Tibos in Soweto. Here are some of the voice notes coming through.
Morning, Manyatela. It's China's year. I think you're only looking at the matter one-sided only, because my understanding is that even though EFF bought that Mercedes to the king, Aba Thembu King, it's still supporting the families of the people who are working at Mercedes-Benz. Thank you. China's here.
Oh, China. So by the EFF buying a BMW, that's supporting the families of the workers at BMW, right? Buy a BMW to give to the king, so that it suits the status of the king. But the community there that the king reigns over still has service delivery issues. You know, some probably still don't have water. Whatever service delivery issues they have, I'm saying this money, right? If this is really what the EFF is going to give the king, I think it would have worked better spent elsewhere to develop the community. Because at the end of the day, as a king, I would imagine that part of your responsibility and the main responsibility is to look after the interests of your community.
Good morning, Clement. ML, Clement, is no more. It has been discontinued. Maybe Julius will buy Dalinjebo a second-hand one, because now Mercedes-Benz manufacture the GLE. no more manufacturing the ML1. Interesting one.
Tate Manyathela Dumela, this thing about Eskom and its failures makes me wonder about CEOs in general. Maybe someone who's knowledgeable about that can help me understand here. If the company is failing, why is the CEO's salary not affected? Daniel Mota from Walkerville.
Clement, if you'd see what Davi Scholes recently tweeted, it is about Eskom and that it will affect the outcome of the elections. I don't think they can anymore because Machela Koko as well, I think, did so much damage in the time he was there to look good that they can't fix it. They just can't fix it.
Is he? Or is he being made a scapegoat? Sipogazi has tweeted me saying, sometimes I believe we're taken for fools by some in this country. How can one person cook books in an organization with processes like Eskom? Matsela Koko is being used as a scapegoat here instead of Eskom fixing the ish that we find ourselves in. We're losing business. This is Sipogazi. That's the message that she sent me on Twitter. Zweli Dlomo says, listening to a caller on the Clement Manyathela show by the name of David, who spoke volumes about Matsela Koko's work ethics. He may have been harsh at times to employees, but he did get the job done. The incompetence that we've been subjected to is appalling, to say the least.